We've got John Fund and Steve Moore. So there's some great overlap here. John Fund with the Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. And John's got a new book, Our Broken Elections, How the Left Changed the Way You Vote. And Steve Moore's always got books, Trumponomics, and he's with FreedomWorks and Unleash Prosperity, and also quarterbacking our Save America Coalition, which I think we're going to stop. Fellas, I want to talk about a couple of things here, oddball things, but not so oddball. First of all, I don't know if you've seen this. I'll begin with you, Steve. So there's a big debate about the Federal Reserve chair, the next chair, between Jay Powell and Lael Brainard. Jay Powell was a Republican appointee, as you know. Actually, he was originally put on the board by Obama, but then Trump made him chair. Now he's up for reappointment. Lael Brainard's been on the board forever. She's a well-known, I guess, progressive Democrat or whatever we're going to call her. Anyway, there's a clip, Steve, and I just saw this, of a hearing in 2019 where our friend Roger Williams, you know, Congressman Roger Williams from Texas,
yes,
terrific guy.
Yes. Yeah.
So he keeps asking Lael Brainard if she's a capitalist. And she won't answer him. She says, well, blah, 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 blah. She says, if markets are properly regulated and they're really competitive, but even then she wouldn't. He asks her three times or four times. And then he asks, and at the end, she says, well, are you a capitalist or a socialist? And she says, well, I just don't see things that way.
Yeah.
Now she's in the running for chair. If not, she'll surely get vice chair. But why is this so hard for a Federal Reserve member to say she's a goddamn capitalist? Why is this so hard?
Yeah, it reminds me, by the way, of the hearing this week with, what's that woman who's up for the comptroller?
Omarova. We're going to get to her in a minute.
apropos of what you're saying, she was asked, do you, by one of the Republican congressmen, do you think that high gas prices are a bad thing? And she responded, well, that's a complicated question. How is that complicated?
That's
anyway,
right.
So, look, I would give Jerome Powell maybe a B-. I don't think he was the best choice that when we saw him, remember at Mar-a-Lago a week or two ago, he reminded me again. He said one of the worst choices I made was Jerome Powell. I think he's done an okay job, but here's what really worries me about Brainard. She is really fanatical about two issues, climate change and gender equity. And yep. Larry, what does that have to do with the Federal Reserve Board? You know, the joke is she wants to add a third mandate to the Fed, which is, there should only be one mandate, right, which is stable prices. But she wants to add climate change as some kind of a mandate from the Fed dealing with climate change. That is frightening to me. And so I think she would be a horrible choice. And if it's between Powell and Brainard, I would take Powell.
Well, she's going to be John Fund. If she's not chair, she'll be vice. Okay. But I don't understand. Now, she has been on the Federal Reserve Board for many years as a governor. And before that, I think she had some service in the international division of the Treasury Department. Pretty sure. But it's astonishing to me in a hearing that she cannot get herself to tell Congressman Williams that she's a capitalist. I mean, come on. She's been on the central bank's board for years, and she wouldn't say it. And then he asks her, are you a socialist or a capitalist? And she said, well, I don't see things that way. Well, how do you see things? What other way is to see things, John Fund?
Well, she misunderstood when she was appointed. She was appointed to the central bank, but she thought she was being appointed to the central planning board. So it, she's still confused as to where she works. Look, Larry, Lael Brainard gets credit for me for being honest. A typical Washington opportunist would, you know, do what students do in universities and give the professor the answer they want. A typical opportunist would simply have said, well, of course, you know, and but, you know, we need to have things fairer and more equitable. I give her credit for dodging the question. I mean, she didn't go all the way. I suspect if you hooked her up to a lie detector machine, you'd basically get the heebie-jeebies by her real answer. But Steve is right. I mean, she is the woke Federal Reserve.
Right.
And that's not what we want.
That's right. Look, this is what Larry Summers gave one of his blasts in the last week or two. And he said, this generation of central bankers is much more concerned about climate change and what he called social woke issues and not inflation. But the problem is inflation, which is not getting lower. It's getting higher. And the Fed is still pouring money into the banking system, either to finance federal spending and borrowing, or just because they're operating in an emergency that no longer exists. Now, here's this lady who can't possibly be worried about inflation. And if she can't call herself a capitalist, and she is woke, and she is for climate change. And here's the thing, Steve Moore, if they put Jay Powell back in there and they put Lael Brainard as the vice chair, they'll have three or four openings, and they're going to appoint climate change, woke, diversity people who don't care one whit about inflation.
Right, and they don't care one whit too much about the capitalist system. And,
right.
It's a dangerous moment. The most important thing, though, is who's going to be the chairman. The chairman wields, you know, the vast majority of the power at the Fed. And, you know, I don't know what grades you'd give Powell. I think he's been behind the curve in terms of dealing with this inflation moment we're in right now. I don't understand, Larry, why the Fed continues to buy mortgage-backed securities at a time when we have the hottest housing market ever. That doesn't make any sense to me. But I would sure prefer him over some of these woke candidates that that Biden would choose.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said. Now, the other one, John Fund, was the Omarova hearings, nominated to be the controller of the currency, which supervises all the national banks, which include, by the way, the big multinational banks, but it also includes regional banks, also includes community banks. And I guess she's made so many statements. Now, she just basically lied her way through this hearing, and she tried to back off, but she really wouldn't. She doesn't want to give any she will try to. First of all, she wants to nationalize the banking system. All right. No more private banks or shareholder owned banks. It's all going to be run by the Federal Reserve. Deposits and loans, Federal Reserve. As controller, she would steer credit away from fossil fuel companies, which she wants to bankrupt. She will end community banking altogether. God knows what else she would end. She won't show us her thesis. Somehow that got lost in the trip from the Soviet Union back to the United States. She won't even renounce the Soviet Union, for God's sakes. So, John Fund, here's another one. And, you know, of all the people in the United States, including people on the left, they have to choose her. And of course, the other thing, unfortunately, that's been coming out is she was a shoplifter, 28-year-old shoplifter of TJ Maxx in Madison, Wisconsin. I don't know what to make of that. But John,
Larry, Marxists do not respect private property. She was in accord with her values.
I knew you were going to say that. It's the proletariat can take over because it's really their goods and services, not the stores.
She thought the store was TJ Maxx.
Oh, God, I can't stand it. But of all the people, John, they have to nominate her, really? There's no,
Larry,
even on the left, they couldn't find somebody?
I've cracked the code. You know, there have been some stories recently on how much left-wing groups contributed in dark money to various Democratic get-out-the-vote efforts in the 2020 election. They flooded the zone. They paid for grants from the Zuckerberg Foundation to election offices to promote mail-in ballots. It was basically a privatization of our election administration. So they spent so much money that they basically have chits that they've piled up. And I believe, and I think there's substantial evidence, that the Biden administration, which is not being run by Joe Biden, it's being run by a collection of others, the Biden administration went to these left-wing groups and said, okay, we owe you big time for the election. Send us your names for any position, and you will get them. That's the only explanation that makes sense, Larry. It's a political payoff for 2020.
That's quite interesting, actually. That's quite interesting. Let me just move on. Steve Moore, you're a tennis player. I'm a tennis player. And there's a big story about this champion China tennis player, Ping Shuao. And she tweeted out a while back that this is on their Weibo platform. It's like their Twitter. And she accused former Chinese Vice Premier Zhang Zhouli of sexual assault. All right. The tweet disappeared after roughly 20 minutes, and searches for her name on popular Chinese social media platforms have been blocked ever since. All right. This guy Zhang has not addressed the allegation, and no one has seen her since November 2nd. So that's almost 20 days ago. And the Chinese Winter Olympics are coming up. Now, she was a national hero, quite a good tennis player. She was a top 20 tennis player at one point in her career, Steve Moore. And this is going to be a big issue. Why should we take our athletes to China? I had Marsha Blackburn on talking about this, where the security, you know, won't be good for American athletes after what they've done to her. This is going to be a gigantic issue.
Well, it is, and I love the Wall Street Journal editorial about this. I don't know if you saw it, Larry, but
no, I didn't.
So it's very good. It says, "Look, why did the Tennis Association has been very tough on China on this, mm-hmm. and they're threatening to boycott China if there's been wrongdoing. We don't know what happened to this woman. Nobody's
right.
seen her. It looks like wrongdoing, but until we actually know, but." What the Wall Street Journal did really effectively is contrast that with the NBA and people like LeBron James,
right.
who suck up to China. And so I want to congratulate the USTA for taking a very tough, hardline position on China. At least somebody is.
Right?
The Biden administration.
Right.
Ever since Donald Trump left office, and, by the way, every week that goes by, I think, Trump was right about China from the very start. He was mm-hmm. he was spot on. And even I was skeptical when we took this hard line on China. But, Larry, I think the more we're learning about this government and the fact that now you've got a president for life, there's no democracy. This is a communist government, mm-hmm. and it has respect for human rights.
Well, that's by the way, Steve, when I went in, obviously I'm a free trader. We're free traders. But the more I met with the Chinese and the more I learned about the whole story, and I talked to Kissinger about this, they're all moving in the wrong direction. They want a state-run economy. They're cracking down on free speech. Really, there's no free speech. And, of course, the human rights problems with the Uyghurs in Hong Kong. I mean, that's why I went along with the tariffs, Steve, because Trump convinced me that this was the only way we'd ever make any headway. That's playing from strength.
And
John Fund, there's an editorial in the Journal today, op-ed from Roger Wicker, senator from Mississippi, about why Biden won't really just come out and plainly say to China, we will defend Taiwan. The two goes together, the tennis player and the fact that Biden's tete-a-tete Zoom or whatever it was with Xi Jinping, he never really made it absolutely clear. I think he tried to, and then it was walked back by the people who run him.
I'm sure the people at the State Department have told him, if you do that, the Chinese will gum up the supply chain even more, and millions of Americans are not going to have toys for their kids at Christmas. I think it's that blatant. And I think Biden walks it back. I think his instinct on this was decent. As for the tennis player, you know, the real question, I know that Steve said she was a top 20 tennis player. The real question now is she able to hold a tennis racket now?
Yes. No.
The answer is we don't know.
Look, they did this. You remember, John and Steve, they did this to Jack Ma, right? The entrepreneur who started Alibaba, fabulous success.
Yep.
And he refused to join the Communist Party. And he became a famous worldwide figure. You know, he was on all the business shows and so forth. And they cracked down on him. And he disappeared for months and months and months. And then he reappeared, and he had joined the Communist Party. But even now, he doesn't hardly want to make a peep. I mean, that's what they do over there. Why should we support their Olympics then? All right? I'm all for the Olympics and the athletes. But this is different.
Larry, totally different. Larry, there's not a historian out there who, in retrospect, would say that the United States should have participated in the Berlin Olympics that Nazi Germany staged.
Right.
It would be horrible if 10, 20 years from now, people look back and say, what were they thinking? Showing up at the Beijing Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
What were they thinking? How morally blind, how strategically naive could they have been?
Mm. Well, you know, John and Steve, I had Robert O'Brien on the show the other day talking about this. He basically said what John just said. He reminded us, he said, dictators love to have Olympics in their countries, which I thought was interesting. Now, Robert O'Brien, who's a good guy, tough guy, you know, very tough on China, but he said we should certainly have a diplomatic boycott, Steve. The question is, should we go further than that? Marsha Blackburn, she didn't say outright, but she was pretty close to saying a full boycott.
Well, I don't have a position on boycotting the Olympics, but I will say this. I mean, it goes back to what Reagan used to say all the time, and you quoted him many times on this, that weakness is provocative.
Right.
And we have a very weak president right now. And, you know, the aftershocks of what happened to Afghanistan will be lasting for many, many years. And you're seeing all this saber rattling from China and Russia and our enemies now because they detect weakness from this president.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a sad situation. I worry about our national security because I don't know if this president is up for a fight.
That's right. That's exactly right. That is exactly right. All right, gentlemen, I got to leave it there. You're very kind to come. John Fun, thank you, John. You're terrific. Steve Moore, as always, my brother. If I don't see you guys, have a happy Thanksgiving. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Although, Steve, I think you're going to have to do some duty on our show this week, as always.
And we're going to have to kill the bill in the Senate.
Yes, we will kill the bill. And I think we got a good shot at it. Thanks, gentlemen.